Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite. I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. Our first song is Praise is Rising. Want to praise our God and Father this morning. Praise the name of the Lord our God.
Where
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that way. Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, welcome you to the service. What a blessed privilege it is to be gathered together to worship our Lord this morning in freedom. For a call to worship, I'd like to take a look at a few words, verses from Philippians chapter 4. Of recent weeks, I feel like I've been struggling to think negative and not think positive thoughts, and I came across this passage and I thought I'd read it this morning. It's a good word for all of us. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a call for all of us to dwell upon the things of God. I think back to my childhood and words that my dad would say to us when the chips were down is don't dwell on the negative. And that's a good word for us.
Think upon the things of God. So this morning, the offering is for the roof replacement fund. Invite the ushers forward. And as they come forward, I give just a little report on the roof. My brother did an inspection this past week. It's nearing the end of its lifespan. We're going to have to make a move on it within the next probably 1 to 2 years. So let's give generously to this. It's important to have a dry roof over us. So let's pray for the offering. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies anew to us this day. Thank you for this church, for this building, and we just pray that you would bless the funds as we seek to raise money to put a new roof on. We pray that this church building would be used for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, please open your Mennonite hymnals and turn to 358, Take My Life and Let It Be. Again, number 358.
Speaker that was supposed to speak this morning thought the service started at 11, so he's in Berkton. So it gives me great delight to introduce our speaker, whom the Lord will provide the words, Brother Mike Troyer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would anoint our brother this morning as he speaks from the heart, the words that you will give him through your Spirit. Bless him now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. All right, there we go. I want to start off with a story, but the message this morning, the point is going to be the truth setting us free, truth in deception. And this is a relevant story from my life. I'm going to try to tie it into the message. I was at Planet Fitness this week, watching people. No, I was trying to exercise. And I got into conversation with a guy, and he said, "Let me ask you a question." And he said, "When Jesus was on the cross and he looked out and he said, 'Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing.'" He said, "I've always struggled with that because they knew what they were doing." Right? They were putting Jesus on the cross. Didn't they know exactly what they were doing? And he said, "I struggle with that with my own life. Does Jesus look at me and say, 'I forgive you, you don't know what you're doing'? How does this make sense? How does his grace, how can I reconcile his grace with my intention to sin or my inintention or my unintentional sin?" And I said, "You know, that's a great question." And the first thing I thought of was when my child acts irrationally, screams at me, does something they regret, I think it makes total sense for me to look at them and say, "Hey, I forgive you. You don't understand what you're doing. And tomorrow morning or later this evening, we'll hug and we're not going to pretend, but we will have an understanding. Our love has not been affected by your irrational action." And he said, I see what you're saying. Okay. And furthermore, the Apostle Paul, numerous times would indicate he does things he doesn't even understand and acts as a rebel against God when he doesn't want to. And he said, "Okay, I see what you're saying." And so he started to grasp this idea that the truth, in a moment of sin, what's happening is often we don't have a total understanding of what we are doing. We are basing our actions upon a lie in that moment. And a lie is what? Deception. It is not the truth. When we sin, we begin to believe that rebelling against God in our actions, in our thinking, in our will, will produce a better outcome and provide more pleasure for us than actually obeying the word of God. And so we base our actions upon a lie, and we are actually deceived even in those actions, to the point where Jesus can look at us and say, "Father, forgive him, forgive her, they don't know what they are doing." I want to talk about the gospel this morning. I had another point that I was going to bring up right there, and I forgot it. We'll see if it comes to me. God created us to be in relationship with him. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, they weren't perfect, but they were innocent. Sin had not entered the picture. They walked with a wonderful relationship with God. And that got distorted by sin. But what I want you to remember this morning is that you have been created to walk in that relationship with God. What he established for Adam and Eve, he established for you. And it has been tainted by sin. Genesis 3:8 says that God walked with them in the cool of the evening. And that just sounds amazing. Our mission is to know Christ and make him known. Knowing God is us wanting him in the same way that Adam and Eve wanted him, to get back to the garden and away from our sin. But our sins separate us from God. Our sins reveal our badness. "I'm really not that bad." It's something that I hear all the time. And when we say that,
It means that we have our own standard of goodness. I like to think that I've conquered sin. I don't see any sin in my life. And what we unintentionally do when we do this is we make ourselves and our view of sin and righteousness the ultimate view, higher than God's view. We become proud. My opinion of what is right and wrong is what I will live by. And so we separate ourselves from God. Mark 7:20 says, "Then he said," Jesus, "what comes out of a person, it's what comes out of a person that defiles him. From within," it's not what comes, "from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, lewdness, stinginess, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person." Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And if you were here at Dave Gehring's funeral, you would have heard that. The wages of sin is death. So, just to repeat what I said at the funeral, for those of you who weren't here, I hope you think about this. Maybe you never have. When you sin, you get compensated. Have you ever thought of that? When you sin before God, you get paid. The wages of sin is death. You get just payment, well-deserved payment for your actions. So, what's the rest of that verse say? It doesn't say the wages of sin is death, but the wages of not sinning is life. It doesn't say that. Isn't it funny that even when you try not to sin and you try to do good things for God in your own strength, it's treated just like sin? What do you get? What do you get paid when you try to live for God and earn your way into the kingdom of heaven? You get the same outcome, the same payment, death. The scripture says the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. Sin cannot be removed by your good works. Galatians 2:16 says, "And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Jesus Christ. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified." Romans 10:2 says, "I can testify about them. They have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, since they are ignorant of the righteousness of God and attempt to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to God's righteousness, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Jesus died and rose again. Jesus is the answer. When I was talking to this guy at Planet Fitness, he brought up this concept of forgiveness, of being forgiven by Jesus. And he says, "I know, I just trust that anytime I ask Jesus to forgive me, that he will." How would you respond to that? If someone says, "I know that every time that I ask Jesus to forgive me, he will," would you just say, "Yep, good point"? The first thing that came to my mind is not when, it's not that when you ask Jesus to forgive you, at that point, he does the work of forgiveness. Are you saying that when you say, Jesus, forgive me, or Father, forgive me, does the Father say, all right, Jesus, go die on the cross again. This person needs forgiveness. No. What Scripture indicates is that Jesus died once for all to cover the weight of every sin. So when you say, Father, forgive me, the reality is you already are forgiven and you've been forgiven. You are just living in the reality of unforgiveness in your own life. The problem is not that Christ needs to die again. The problem is that you are not taking the weight of your sin to him. And I could see it in the guy's face, just like I see it in some of your faces right now. Am I carrying the weight of sin? We just talked about being created for the garden, created for relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ has done an amazing work for you. And it's not today about you saying, okay, I need to repent, do the work of repentance to feel better of myself. Do you realize Jesus Christ already did the work for you? Are you trying to work hard and not let him carry the weight of that? For some of us today, the reality is we just need to nail it to the cross. The shame that I'm living with, the things that are separating me from God, the sin in my life, are you willing to say, Jesus, you already paid for this, I'm letting you have it today? Because he has done the work already. The problem is not that he needs to go back to the cross. The problem is that you are saying, I want to pay for this. I will not give it to him. This is my mess to clean up. This is my problem to carry. And he's already done the work for you. Jesus died and he rose again. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So it is written, the first Adam, the first man Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And that is Jesus. Jesus became a life-giving spirit. So everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. What good news! Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Romans 5:21, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, and yet because we knew that we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by our works. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. Life with Jesus begins today for you. Even if you've had life with Christ up until this point, life with Jesus continues on or begins today for you. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what it means to live. Are you living? Are you living? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking with him? Revelation 22:5 says, night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Hey, can you even imagine this concept of not needing lights? You don't need the sun, you don't need lights, you don't need a candle. God himself will bring light to your existence. What is a spiritual reality right now for us? There's no light in here apart from Christ. There's no light. By the way, next week we're going to hear about justification by faith alone, I believe, from Blake. And then depravity from Adam the week after. So relevant. There's no light in here apart from Christ. And so that spiritual reality, it seems in Revelation, will become a physical reality for us. That God himself will be our light. And John 10:10 says, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That life is available for you today. You know, the scripture says that the gospel is the power of God unto or for salvation. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Have you ever stopped and processed that? I grew up a good little boy. Anyone else? I didn't do anything bad. I mean, I held the door open for people. I was rowdy in school. That was about the extent of my badness. I needed attention, and I would do things to get attention. But I was a gentleman. I did the right things, and I was a good little boy. I did devotions better as like a teenager than I do now. Like, I was a great little boy. I did the right things. I cared about doing the right things. I reached this point in my life where I realized that being a good little boy is not what Christianity is all about. I realized how easy it is to be a good little boy and miss Jesus. And I don't know if that's your testimony today or not, but I reached a point where the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Not being a good little boy is the power of God for salvation. I reached a point where that gospel reality changed me. And even though I would still say, you know, I was a believer. I knew who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. He died for my sins. I trust in him and him alone. It was a journey of my sanctification, becoming more like Christ, when I realized that though I know who God is, though I trust in Christ alone, I still act. Like there is some deception within me believing that my actions and how I behave affects the way God is viewing me and his love for me. And there was a moment where that changed and I realized that his love for me is unconditional. And that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And you know what? Suddenly I'm able to talk to people about Jesus and the gospel and not about being a good little boy. Have you ever tried to evangelize to somebody? What comes out of you is probably what's going on in your own heart. Well, you got to do this, obey that, go to church, do all this stuff, and God will look on you with favor. No. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And suddenly it becomes a lot easier to say, do you believe in the gospel? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Why can't the scripture just say, God's grace is the power of God? His love, the love of God is the power of God for salvation. God's love is on display in the gospel. His grace is on display in the gospel. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. And the righteous will live by faith. It says in John 8, verse 31, Jesus says, he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Do you know the rest of this verse? If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Church, saints, we are in a battle today. You look at the world around you. The only fight worth fighting is the battle of truth and deception. Is truth subjective? Is it open to your opinions? Is it your truth, my truth? Of course not. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We can honestly look at people who are confused about the truth and say, are you continuing in the word of God? And the likely answer, if they're honest, will be no. And most of them will probably say, I don't believe that the Bible is the truth. But there are many who will even say, I believe the Bible is the truth. Yet they do not remain in it. They try to squeeze the word of God into their worldview. Whatever they want the truth to be, they make God say it. Are we a church who is able to go to the word of God and allow our worldview, the way we view the world, to be shaped by the word of God rather than reshaping his word to meet our worldview? We're living in a day where we need to continue in the word of God. We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. This is applicable for you and me. This is absolutely essential. Those who do not continue in the word of God, those who do not know the truth, who have not been set free by it, are living under the power of sin. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. And we do this. We do this all the time in little ways. We take the truth, what can be known about God, we exchange it for a lie, and then our actions become based on that lie. Exchanging the glory of God for mortal objects. It says they knew of God's attributes. They knew his eternal power and divine nature. They came to recognize or know him as God, yet they traded that view of him for cheap imitations, and they worshiped them. False gods. So how do we exchange the truth of God for a lie? Every time we sin, we're believing a lie. And therefore, when we live in a constant state of deception, we should not expect freedom in our lives. When we live in a constant state of deception, we should expect the outworking of sin. The fruit of being deceived is sin. The fruit of living in the truth is salvation, is redemption, is being free, freedom. That's what I should have said. There is a path that leads to death. Romans 1, 28 through 32 says, because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. I want to encourage us to renew our minds. Romans 7, starting in verse 22, says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When your mind, which wants to serve God, becomes ignorant of the things of God, you will naturally exchange the truth of God for a lie. This is when your flesh will receive power over your mind and control your body. These are also the times and the ways that the devil receives a foothold in your life. Your most effective line of defense from your flesh, the world, and the devil is to renew your mind in the Word of God. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, what is pleasing, and the perfect will of God." I think it would be great. Can I have the worship team come back up here and do "Oh, Praise the Name of the Lord Our God"? And then we'll have Rollin come up, and Blake, if you want to introduce Rollin then at that point, and Rollin can share with us a little bit. Would you all stand? And while we sing this song, "Oh, Praise the Name of the Lord Our God," think about what Christ has done already for your freedom. And are you living in light of that freedom? Or are you carrying the weight of your sin? Are you exchanging the truth of God for a lie in your life? Or are you living in light of the truth?
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for giving us the message. Now, Brother Ryland's going to talk to us about Eureka, Nevada.
Well, greetings. I think I must be on Nevada time, about 3 hours behind. And so I do appreciate your flexibility and Ryland for putting, the other Ryland for putting some things together there pretty quick. So praise the Lord. Well, greetings from Eureka, Nevada. We sure are enjoying the green that we see here in the Shenandoah Valley. We have about 4 feet of snow on our deck right now as we speak. And that's not all that was there. That's a good bit already left. And we saw 26 below zero this winter, and so it came early and staying late. So, but anyway, we are enjoying the Shenandoah Valley in that way. Well, I had a message all worked up, and wanted to talk to you this morning about Jesus cleansing the temple. But we'll forego that in the interest of time and mistakes. And I've also been asked to share a little bit about Eureka Community Church. Mostly the needs. I have talked about Eureka Community Church here several times in the past 16 years. And Eureka Community Church is clicking right along. We're still in the old building that was built in, 1853 or something like that. And we have a building program that hopefully will come to fruition at some time. We definitely need a larger new facility. The church has been on the grow the past year. Families moving in. Our area is on an economic boom at the moment. I tell people that our church attendance goes up and down with the gold price. And that is a little bit in jest, but not totally. Because when the gold price gets close to $2,000 an ounce, a lot of people move in, a lot of exploration, and that kind of thing happens, and it does affect our church attendance. So, but this morning, I want to bring a thought to you. And first off, maybe I should say we very much appreciate the support from Dayton Church here in the past 16 and a half years now. It allows us to do a lot of ministry. But the fact that it's been 16 and a half years brings us into another little situation. And Leanna and I both have some significant health issues going on. And it's time for new leadership at Eureka Community Church. Eureka Community Church is not in its infancy anymore. It has a good solid core and a lot of different ministries going on. And so we are, again, it's not a church plant, I guess you might say anymore. It's planted and it's growing. So that brings another dynamic to our church in looking at the need for new leadership. We need a pastor that's at least a half-decent administrator, which I am not. Those of you that know me well will say amen to that one. But, and I don't really consider myself a church planter. We went out in Eureka and just do what we do. And I have looked back and say, yes, we did plant a church there. So, by the grace of God. And I could tell you stories about, you know, wonderful grace of God and people coming to the Lord and some people that didn't come to the Lord. But I just wanted to share and was asked to share the need for a change of leadership. That is hard for me to even talk about. The amount of time we've been there, our heart is firmly planted in Eureka, Nevada. We like the lifestyle. We even like the weather. We definitely like the low humidity. I come back here and I just kind of turn into a fish almost. You all got so much moisture in your air. But, you know, one of the hazards of the occupation is that when new leadership comes into place, it's time to get out of the way. And so that needs to happen. So my plea, my proposal is that you as a church can help us pray. You know, God knows who he wants there. We don't yet. And so if you will help us pray to find that person, that God will reveal who he wants to go into leadership there. And there's a few qualifications for leadership in the Eureka Community Church. I won't go through all of them, but one of them is flexibility. You had best be very open-minded very quickly. One thing that we did very, very early on, and when we say Eureka Community Church, that word community is in capital letters for us. That's our vision, is to serve our community. And by the grace of God, that's what we have done and intend to do. But the folks out there, when they start their worship service, they don't have two songs and devotion. You come to church and you go to, we call it discussion time, but you go right to Sunday school class. That was normal out there. And so that's the kind of thing we did. That's just a little bit of flexibility there. And we start at 10 o'clock. We have, in our prayer time, we have prayed for a lot of horses and dogs in Eureka Community Church in the last years. It's a cultural thing, but it's also a very practical thing. And the fact that many horses out there aren't pets. They are working animals that people rely on to do what they do. And so it's very important in their life. So, and yeah, we've prayed for a few border collies. So I just say that as an illustration, a little humorous. But that, yeah, flexibility is a big thing there. Another thing that I have done the last year is, didn't do it this year, but I've been asked to offer prayers at our Veterans Day celebrations or commemorations. And I'm glad to do that. Anybody that's in the line of danger and away from families, and they need ministered to, and that's fine with me, and I've done that. And I preach them a little sermon while I'm praying. But that's another thing that I had never got into till I went to Eureka, Nevada. So that's there's a lot of ministry opportunities there. And again, another reason that we feel it's time for us to move on, somebody to come in, is there's ministry that should be happening that's not happening. That's another reason but there's ministry opportunities galore there. Again, we're on the grow. It looks like this latest round of mining ventures and the growth there, it's going to be around a while. It's not 4 or 5 years. it's probably going to be more like 15 or 20 years as far as the growth and the job. Employment opportunities abound out there, as in everywhere. But be that as it may. So it's, again, anybody that knows somebody that might be interested or feel called for that, or if you feel called to that ministry out there, there's things that Eureka does not have. We don't have a Walmart, okay? In fact, it takes almost 2 hours to drive to the nearest Walmart. I kind of like that. We do have a grocery store and a couple gas stations and a hardware store, so you can keep living. But we are remote in that way. But at the same time, and we do a pretty active youth group twice a month. We meet in what's called the old elementary gym. How many of you have been to Eureka, Nevada? We've had ones that have been out there to help us in Vacation Bible School. Yeah, great. We make a big production out of Vacation Bible School. That's just one thing that we do. But we do an active youth group. And three-fourths of the young ones that come to that youth group are totally unchurched. I'm as in capital T, totally. And so if we're not in the Bible Belt, and it's just full of pagans, that's what I call it, around us. And so that is another qualification probably for ministry there, that you need to someone you need to enjoy cold calling, working with, I call raw flesh. Now, it's not a very good description, but totally unchurched people. In our church, we have a lot of first-generation believers, because the older generation was either Mormon or Catholic. A lot of Italians in our area. And our group is first generation believers, a lot of them. And again, the youth group comes from homes. And sometimes in a youth meeting, if you have 25 young folks and 20 of them are from unchurched, it takes a little bit of effort to keep the lid on that thing once in a while. And we aren't always successful at that, to tell you the truth about the matter. But in ministry, especially to our young folks, the internet, have you noticed, is a great leveler of our culture. And we have exactly the same problems that you have in Rockingham County Schools for our young folks that they face. The good kids can't go to the bathroom. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Was working, doing a job for a teacher, and she said that the kids, they're put down. Have you ever noticed that kids like to put each other down? And the big put down now is, why don't you go kill yourself? And I understand that's a nationwide thing. It's that death culture and our young folks playing into it. So, yes, we're a long ways from everywhere, but as far as those type of cultural problems that you need to minister to, same as everything or everywhere else in the world. Yes, I don't know how I could go for a while, I suppose, but again, we're on an active search for new leadership. I've been told several times that they will never replace Roland Good, and that's a wonderful idea. I like that idea. We don't need Roland Good there anymore. I'm serious about that as I can be. And the church, again, is not a church plant. It's not its infancy. It needs a different, it's the dynamics have changed, obviously. And so you need a different style and emphasis and that kind of thing. And working toward a wider, joining something larger than we are, We're still operating under Mountain Valley, and but we need to get hooked up with something larger than we are. That's probably in the next, should be part of the next administration, if you will. So again, I'm a bit discombobulated here this morning, but so we're just putting out a plea for you to pray with us for the continuation and the blessing of the work in Eureka Community Church. And maybe there's somebody in this room right now that would feel the call. I don't know if it's legal to come here and steal sheep. Is that okay? All right, I got permission. Okay. Maybe there's somebody in this room that would feel called to ministry. And I would encourage you to act on that call. And I would also encourage you to be very discerning, because the emotions can come into a play at a thing like this, and we can go the wrong way. But so, again, just want to thank you all so much for your generous support in the last years. Our plans would be, and I've told the church out there, well, we have been signing up 2 years at a time. I say signing up, agreeing to 2 years at a time, starting in 2006, it went to 8 and 10. I tell people I'm 16 years into a two-year assignment. Anyway, so we've been doing that 2 years at a time, the reassignment, and this last November, we agreed to one more year, which is obviously up November the 30th of 2023. But I have told the church, we're not going anywhere until there's leadership in place out there. So we're not biting our fingernails. And people ask us what our plans are, and I tell them the same thing we've told them for 16 years. We don't know, which is a little bit difficult, but it goes with the territory. Some of you know what we're talking about there. So God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. It just feels great when I come to Dayton Church here. Just, I'm kind of at home, but it feels great, and I feel very welcomed, and feel well here. So blessings to you folks as you all do life, do ministry. We're all ministers for one cause or another. You can't get out of that one. And so blessings to you and to the leadership. And again, I want to thank Roland, if he's around here somewhere, the other Roland, and you guys for being very flexible this morning and getting this done in a very timely manner after I messed you up. So God bless.
Thank you, Roland. Let's pray for the church in Eureka, Nevada. Father, even as you have provided a Savior for us that Mike preached about this morning, we just pray that you would provide leadership in Eureka, Nevada, that your word would go forth. We pray that you would bless Rylan and Leanna for their work there. And we just pray that as those men go there to mine gold, that they would come to the church and mine your scriptures and find the nuggets, the gold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Ann, can you lead us in a couple songs?
If you would, again, open your Mennonite hymnals to number 191. And also, please stand. Again, number 191 in your Mennonite hymnal. Crown him with many crowns.
Oh, yeah. 4. Come thou, Almighty King.
Couple announcements in close. I want to make a reminder for April 7. We'll have the Good Friday service here in the evening, 7 o'clock. Buff will announce further announcements about that next Sunday. And Easter, Mike is going to give us an announcement about Easter. Right now, Mike, you have an announcement for us? Sorry, Micah. Hold your thought.
A little more details coming, but April 16th and 17th is this marriage series. We're doing 3 sessions, and I want to give a little bit of background there. The Sunday Evening Planning Committee tries to do events at least once a month, primarily for fellowship, but also just for growing us in the Word. So it might be fun, and it might be a marriage series or seminar. But it's also, the Sunday Evening Planning Committee works with the leadership team for like the revival speaker twice. We do a speaking thing twice a year typically. That's what this is. In April, it's the week after Easter, the Sunday after Easter. And we're going to have Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Monday evening. Child care will be provided down at the school down the road. And then we'll also hopefully have some nurseries for the younger ones here. 3 sessions. The first Sunday morning is going to be the covenant of marriage. And then Monday evening, we're going to separate. Men will be downstairs, women will be upstairs. And the women up here are going to be talking about suffering's impact on marriage. And I've yet to know what's going to be talked about downstairs with the men. And then Monday evening, we'll be separated again at the beginning. We're going to be talking about sexuality in marriage. And then at the end, we'll all come together. And it's free. You don't have to buy tickets or anything. There's no reason not to come. And one reason we're excited about it also is because Journey Counseling, which we highly recommend you go. I've talked with a number of people about counseling,
And it's kind of like, I wish I could go like once a week and talk with them with my wife. And it's not because things are terrible in our home. It's because counseling is just never a bad idea. Like, it's just not. And I hope bringing them in here, we can all see these are the people that if you're struggling, you can go talk to them. And they're there. They're there to help your marriage out, to help you out. And so that's another reason why I'm excited to have them come to us and teach us about biblical marriage. So that's April 16th and 17th.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, are you would share with us?
First Easter. Easter is 3 weeks away. Somebody said that the other day, and panic kind of struck my heart a little bit because we hadn't started planning our Easter service yet. It's amazing how time flies, but this is one of the greatest times in the life of this church, I believe. It's just an amazing Sunday morning service to come together. We don't have Sunday school that morning. We have a breakfast time together. And I would like to just take this opportunity to give a shout out to the people that sacrifice a lot of time and energy, and it's led by Joyce Martin in the kitchen. I mean, when there's funerals and when there's things like this, they always pick up the ball and go above and beyond. So I just want to thank you for that. It is amazing. And this is a big deal. When you have 350 or more people coming for a breakfast, it's a big deal. So we appreciate that. So there will be a breakfast that will be served. I believe it'll be started serving at 8:45 and until before church. And then the service here will be at 10 o'clock. But we just encourage all of you to come for the breakfast time. And to invite your friends, it's a great opportunity. There's going to be a lot of music. It's going to be a celebration service. So come, invite your friends, and let's worship a risen Savior together on April 9. My other thing I wanted to share this morning is I was able to spend some time with Anthony Deputy yesterday. And as you probably have seen in the last weeks and months, he has not been doing overly well. He's a gentleman that sits over here. And maybe you know, maybe you don't, but he has come here my whole life. I don't ever remember being here and Anthony not being here. And he's lost a lot of weight and is just struggling. And I was sitting with him yesterday and I was so encouraged because one thing became very clear. He's in the hospital. Sorry, did I leave that part out? He's in the hospital right now for the last couple of days and they're doing a lot of testing on him. And I was sitting with him and one thing became very clear is that he loves this church very much. And he said over and over, would you please just ask the people of the church to pray for me? Would you just ask the church to pray? And it just, I mean, it was just powerful to sit there with him and hear him asking for us to pray. So I would like to pray for him this morning. Just take a moment here and pray specifically for him. He loves you very much, and he needs us, probably in this congregation, more than any of us sitting here. He needs our friendship, our cares, our prayers. So if you think of him, give him a call, visit him. He's in the hospital. As I said, they don't know what's wrong with him. They have done a lot of tests for the last weeks, and they have not been able to find anything. And if I understood him correctly, they were doing MRI testing today. So let's just pray that whatever is going on in his mind and in his spirit, in his heart, whatever it is, that it would be revealed and that what's hidden would come to the light and that he'd be able to get some results. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Anthony Deputy. You created him. You made him in your image. You've brought him to this church, and he's been a faithful member here for many, 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 many years. And just talking to him last night, I asked him what the best thing in his life has been, and he said, giving my life to Jesus at the age of 13. Father, is that our testimony here this morning? And we just pray that your salvation, the joy of his salvation, would be renewed today. That he would know that you're with him. That whatever's going on in his mind or whether it's in his body or whatever it may be, Lord, may you reveal it to the doctors. That he could have help. That you would help him to be able to breathe, Lord. And that you would just bring his body fully into a state of reconciliation, and that he could have a healthy life and not be in such suffering, Lord. We don't know what's wrong, but Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be revealing to the doctors and those that are interacting with him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Micah. Does anyone else have an announcement before we close in prayer?
All right, well, let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your kindness and your mercies anew to us. Lord, we just pray a blessing over this congregation. We pray that you would go with us this week, that your spirit would lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, we pray a special blessing over Linda Tice, our sister who has lost her mom, and she's coming back from South Carolina. Oh, Lord, that your grace or your mercy would be near to her during this time. We pray for all those in the congregation who are struggling with physical ailments. We pray that you would be with them. We thank you that we can gather here this morning religiously free. We pray for our government and presidential ruling powers that be. We ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct them. We pray for our families, for our marriages, for our children. Lord, that you would just be the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our homes, that Christ Jesus will be glorified through the people of DMC. Go with us this week, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace.